this morning. Today is a wonderful day in the church family here at Camp Hill. When this lesson is done and the invitation is over, Brian Dowler will be coming up and we will be officially appointing him to the eldership here in Camp Hill. And it's a great thing because it communicates extremely important messages for our congregation. I'm going to cover three of those lessons this morning. Number one, it communicates the value of quality leaders. The value of quality leaders. We're in the midst of federal elections, and voters are using many different qualities to try and choose their candidates. They look at some things that are good, some things that are bad. And some of these qualities that they're basing these decisions on, I want to say, I think are very worldly. And that might be fine in the earthly realm to select our leaders of the political world on maybe some bad qualities, but that doesn't fly in the kingdom of God. Okay? It might be fine to use earthly standards to pick earthly leaders, because David asked, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The answer's in the question, because they're heathen. But in the church, the primary leaders, the elders, have qualities which are superior. Turn to 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 7. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he might not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. In Titus 1, verses 7 through 9, turn your Bible to that passage. Titus 1, 7 through 9. Paul tells Titus, in appointing these men as leaders, he said, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict." These are very high qualities that God wants in our leaders. And Brian, I want to address you this morning. Sometimes I joke, you know, if people come up to me and tell me something they might be struggling with or give me a bit of news, and I'll say, "Hey, you're point number three on the sermon this Sunday morning." You know, but in this case, though, I want to single you out for a little bit, Brian. I think I speak on behalf of the congregation this morning. You're respectable, you're gentle, you're sober-minded, you're down to earth. You're a good listener, you're well-respected both in and outside of the church. You're a good communicator, a good teacher, you're also quite hospitable. These are developed qualities that you didn't get last week. You've been working on these all your life in serving God and His people. This is what God expects in the selection of His leaders in order to be effective for the work of the church. The position of elder carries with it the highest standards of man. And today, once again, we're confirming by appointing another elder in the congregation. We're communicating the message that there is value to be found in quality leaders. Number two, it communicates the value of empowerment. One of the greatest biotic principles to the numeric and spiritual growth of the congregation is the ability to empower leadership. In one of the publications I read, it's in the top two. By empowering good leadership, the younger receive instruction from the older. Without it, the less matured souls are put at risk. They're left to fend for themselves, and with good leadership, with empowering leadership, you receive good quality direction. The last verse in the book of Judges says this in 21 verse 25, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. When we empower others that are able to lead, we're investing in the congregation. It says volumes when a congregation has six elders, and yet there's still room for others to be empowered in that most awesome responsibility. There are congregations both near and far that would give anything to have leadership that we have in this congregation. I promise you. But they do not. There are some congregations that I have personally attended that have had hundreds and more than 1,000 members, and they did not have an eldership, nor did they ever have an eldership. That's a serious problem. There was a congregation that a few brothers and I went down to visit that they had over 1,200 people that met on Sunday morning, and in the over half century that the congregation existed, they did not have an eldership in place. That says something that we should pay attention to. Amen, back at you. Sometimes the claim is made that they are not qualified to fill the role. And though that can be legitimate, that's often not the case that we find. If the men of the congregation have been taking serious their obligation to love their wife, to raise their kids in the spirit of the Lord, if they have been doing what God has called them to do as a Christian, add some years, you're going to end up with what God wants as the qualities in an elder. You're going to have it. Sometimes there are evangelists in the congregation that out of pride or fear are unwilling to have an eldership come forth. They feel threatened out of the power seat, and they want to take the role of Diotrephes of 3 John verses 1, or chapter 1 verse 9. I wrote to you to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, is what the scriptures say. You know, there's a Diotrephes complex. I've seen that happen before. And sometimes it's the fear of submitting to that leadership in general for that congregation. I've actually known congregations in the past that have been addicted to the men's business meetings because they do not want to be under the submission of an overseeing body of authority. I want to say that when we appoint Brian Dowler as an elder this morning, I want you to rejoice because it reinforces our seriousness of the empowerment of others. Because God will allow success to be worked through these men if they have these qualities, God will get out of the congregation what He wants. It's not just Brian. We have other men that will soon give some time, give some experience, that will also become elders someday, if so be you allow God to work through you. And it's so refreshing when I hear stories about congregations where the evangelist or others in the congregation refuse to allow these qualities to develop and to work through God and His Word to be able to produce a godly leadership. It's just devastating. But when you see Brian this morning being appointed as an elder, I want you to think for a second. Wow, empowerment really does say something. And the third thing, this isn't a long message. I'm not going to try to wax eloquently on the situation. It's a simple message. It communicates the value of the task at hand. Communicates the value of the task at hand. There are many responsibilities in the church family that need oversight. There is education, correction, discipline, finances, encouragement, evangelism, visiting, and collective worship, just to name a few. When a congregation uses the qualities to qualify men to be chosen as their leaders, and the congregation empowers those men into positions of responsibility, there's going to be some great things that take place. But it says, when you see an elder appointed this morning, I want you to think about what does that say about the responsibilities we have as a church? Are we serious about them or are we not serious about them? Would you trust an army to go into a war that had no officers? I believe we call that vigilantes. We have an incredible task at hand as the church. You want to be held accountable to God, therefore you have appointed godly men to help hold you accountable to the task at hand. Harry Truman, the 33rd president of the United States, he had a sign on his desk. Many of you already know this. It said, "The buck stops here." It was used to negate the Washington practice of always passing the buck, giving someone else the blame. And he wanted to make everyone know for sure that when something came across his desk, it wasn't going to be passed on. There was going to be a decision made. The buck stops here. Well, the elders of a congregation, they're the ones to where the buck stops here. We're told in James chapter 3, verse 1, "Be not many teachers, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation." In the Levitical sacrificial system, you had the leaders of the congregation. You had the high priest. You had whoever was king. Whoever was the ruler, they had a higher penalty to pay when they sinned versus the beggar in the street. All were held accountable to God, but God wanted to make sure that you have someone that the buck can stop at until someone's mature enough to make the buck stop there. You have to have the elders in order to do that successfully. When a congregation splits into factions, it's often the result of division at top, not the bottom. It's the division at the top. When education fails in a congregation, it's more than likely because the eldership has failed to make that a priority. The buck stops here. When discipline in the lives of the church is getting out of control, it's more likely that the eldership, if that happens, the eldership wasn't doing what they needed to do. The buck stops here. When the congregation is not being fiscally responsible, it's usually due to the lack of leadership in the eldership. You see, by appointing elders, and I want you to remember this morning, that as Brian is appointed an elder in the congregation and added to the others that we already have, it truly is communicating a message about the task at hand. The task at hand for these elders, or the buck stops here. We're going to make sure, out of love, not out of controlling people, but out of love and teaching, that the buck really needs to stop here. We have to take care of our own house. We have to take the message of Christ out to the world. When we entrust our souls under the oversight of mature men, we're saying we take serious this task. There are many in the congregation that cannot make that claim, for they have nobody who's willing to have the buck stop with them. The elders, they're a buck-stopping people, and they're going to have to make sure they carry out this most important task. You trust their leadership, and they trust in Christ and His leadership. They have a great responsibility that rests on their shoulders. And if you only knew the half, I have to say this. There's sometimes I don't want to go to the elders' meetings. They want me to. Like the elders say, yeah, we want you to go. And there's some that I ask not to even be there. I already got enough on my plate, okay? I don't need someone throwing on the Shakey's buffet on top of me. There's a lot of times, if you only knew how much they're praying for you and how much they're planning for you and the considerations they're making for you, this is not an easy job. It's an incredible job. It requires many hours. It requires much study. It requires much understanding. They're willing to take the heat because they knew the seriousness of the task at hand. And so in closing, there is good reason to be very pleased this morning as we appoint Brian Dowler as an elder to the congregation. It communicates that we see the need for qualified leaders, the need to empower others, and that we're serious about the task at hand. I want to close with this story. And then I'll offer the invitation for anybody who wants to respond. If you're broken in your heart, if you want to get right with God this morning, if you have not become a Christian yet and you see the need to enter that covenant, not just to come to church, not just to sing some songs, not to just participate, but to be on the team. If you want to join Christ, come forward and be baptized. If you believe He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and He did die on that cross for you, and I'm asking you to lead yourself into leadership under Jesus Christ's authority. You need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Join the team of the family of God, not just here, not just in Newport, not just over at Carlisle, but everywhere where the people of God are called and submit to His leadership the way He says to. That's what the invitation is for this morning. But I want to close with this story. James Garfield, he was the 20th president of the United States, back when men could have beards still. And prior to his election to president, Garfield served as the major general in the United States Army. He was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and he was also a member of the Electoral Commission in 1876. Now, he was the second U.S. president to be assassinated, Abraham Lincoln being the first. President Garfield, a Republican, had been in office for only 4 months when he was fatally shot on July 2nd, 1881. And he lingered on for quite a few days, but to the date, Garfield's the only man who was a member of the House of Representatives to be elected president. That's a little trivia, but the other things I want you to know about this man that impressed me the most is this. Garfield was a minister for the Disciples of Christ, making him the first preacher to serve as president of the United States. He also claimed as a member of the Church of Christ, because as the different branches did not split up until the 20th century. You can go read this on like Wikipedia or go to the encyclopedia, but this is what's very amazing. When Garfield relinquished his position on the eldership of the church, because he had to go be sworn into office for the president, it was stated that he said, quote, "I resign the highest office in the land to become president of the United States." Wow. What a grasp on reality. Brian, you're about to be appointed as an elder in the congregation. And, you know, that's higher to me than the office of the president. He can guard some things like national security, but Brian, like our other elders, they'll be guarding your soul. So, let me ask you, what does that communicate for a message to you? You have great reason to rejoice this morning. because we're about to confirm what God has always said. Godly men will lead others closer to God. And so, after the invitation is done, Paul will come up and he will go ahead and appoint Brian an elder in the congregation and rejoice. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, why don't you do so while we stand and sing?